Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer Podcast, Tuesday edition. This is Will Brinson, Pete Prisco. We're going to break down Week 13, look at the playoff race. We'll talk about who the best team in the AFC is. We'll talk about the Rob Gronkowski versus Earl Thomas injuries. And we'll talk about the MVP race. But first, Pete, how do you think? Okay, this, people are asking this. I mean, it's a question, right? Is Todd Bowles' job in trouble? Should Todd Bowles be concerned about his employment with the New York Jets?
Yes. And should Mike Maccagna be concerned about his job with the New York Jets? Yes. I mean, that's not a good football team right now. And, you know, you can point to Todd Bowles all you want, but let's go through the talent base, okay? Let's just go through it.
Quarterback stinks.
Awful. And people fooled themselves thinking that guy was good.
And this is not all of Mike Maccagna's fault either. You know, this is, falls on the previous regime with John Idzik as well. But, like, the quarterback situation there is just about as bad as you can get, because you have Fitzpatrick, who can't play and signed as a veteran. Geno Smith got hurt but wasn't good enough to challenge Fitzpatrick for the job in the first place. Bryce Petty is so bad that he couldn't challenge Geno for the backup job, and you can see him now. He's going to start the last four games, but he's bad. And Hackenberg's so terrible, he can't even get on the field.
Well, they redshirted him, so they haven't even tried to get him on the field. They have no idea, but...
Well, right, but that's a, like...
It's a bad situation. The team stinks, too. I mean, let's go through the... Okay, let's take the quarterback equation out of it. I mean, I'm going to use Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott walked into one of the greatest quarterback situations any rookie could ever walk into. And by comparison, if you threw Hackenberg into the Jets situation, let's look at the line, okay? You have the Mangold, been hurt, played okay, Left tackle, not good. Right tackle, injured all year, back, not great. Guards, average. Marshall can run, no Decker. Young kids haven't stepped up. You pay an old running back. I mean, it's a bad offense. It's not a good offense. Then you go to the other side of the ball. One of the things I've criticized them for all along is, yeah, they're great and they're down guys. They never address the outside rushers. The rushers aren't very good, and that shows up on a weekly basis, particularly when your secondary is not good. So their linebackers, you know, the kid from Ohio State, Darren Lee, is going to be a good player. The corners, Revis can't play anymore. He clearly doesn't want to play.
You think it's obvious he doesn't want to play?
Yeah. He's been awful all year. And then you go to the, you know, the back end isn't – Calvin Pryor took a major step back. He didn't even play last night. But, I mean, you look at this team and its talent base isn't very good. You know who's good? Leonard Williams. Brandon Marshall is good. Those two, that's about it.
But the problem is they're not, like, in a good position when it comes to the salary cap. I mean, you know, like, they're
– Well, they paid everybody. They paid all guys. I mean, that's – look at where they are. Look who they paid. You paid Wilkerson, which, you know, and he's been dogging it. He hasn't been very –
My theory on the Wilkerson stuff is that maybe there's just a lot of dissension. Like, remember Wilkerson and the front office weren't – you know, they weren't getting along. And then you have Richardson, who wants money, and you have Williams, who's a young kid. Is it possible that maybe you get Richardson out of there and it helps Wilkerson?
Well, I mean, the best player is Williams, because at least he tries. He plays hard. He plays his ass off. The guy's a great player. Those other two guys, they don't play hard all the time. They got all their other issues where they're late for meetings and get, you know, suspensions and everything else. I think that's a big part of the problem for the Jets is you know, those two guys. So the other thing is, you know, if you want to put this out there, and I will, Mike Maccagna got that job probably based solely on a recommendation. And I don't know if he's any good. I've heard good and bad. I don't know Mike, but based on a recommendation from Charlie Casserly, who heads that committee up. Okay. Charlie Casserly, there's a problem with the committee. Okay. And people will give me crap when I say this, but there's a problem with the committee a little bit. There's nepotism on that committee. Friends taking care of friends. So if somebody gets recommended for a job, usually it's by Charlie or Ron Wolf, and they've all, or Bill Polian, and they've all worked with guys in their time that they recommend. And does that necessarily make them the best guys for the job? No. It makes them guys that they know and guys they're familiar with and guys they recommend to the league and to the league's owners. So Mike Maccagnan was worked at one point for Charlie Casserly. Well, Charlie Casserly's on the committee. So Charlie Casserly recommends Mike Maccagnan to Woody Johnson, and all of a sudden Woody Johnson hires Mike Maccagnan. Who's to say that there's not guys that aren't being recommended by that committee that deserve to have their names on that list? And there are plenty of them. And they don't get the opportunities that some of the nepotism opportunities or friend opportunities get their way. And that bothers me somewhat, because I know good guys in this league that aren't getting their chances when they should be getting their chances. So I'm concerned about that. I'm not saying Mike Maccagnan has done an awful job, because it's too early to pull the plug on what he's done. But the proof is in the pudding. It isn't great right now. And he was recommended by that committee. Same with the coaches committee. They recommend buddies and pals and friends and everything else. There are a lot of good candidates out there in a lot of different areas that should be on both those recommendation committee, those recommendation lists, and they're not. And I've always had a problem with that, because I think if your work speaks loudly, you don't need your buddies to recommend you. Your work speaks for you. And the league has to really take a close look at that. And I'm not just singling out Mike Maccagnan. It's happened in other areas before. So I'm concerned about that.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, don't you think that Mike Zimmer and Bruce Arians took a while to get hired because...
In large part because they probably rubbed some people the wrong way. Yeah. I mean, you know, look.
And by the way, Maccagnan was like considered one of the best executives last year for turning the Jets into a 10-win team. But clearly,
when you really looked at it,
it was smoke and mirrors, right?
Right. I mean, you're turning something around when you got Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. It's going to blow up in your face. And I'm not killing Mike Maccagnan. I'm just killing the committee and the way they recommend. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, friends recommend friends in a lot of situations.
Yeah, this is not isolated to football. I mean, this happens all over the place in real life.
Right. So they need to expand that list and that process, I think. And it's not the end all be all. And, you know, but
why aren't you on that committee? You should be on that committee.
Because it's a committee recommended by, you know, it's all the goal. Oh, it's you know, the guys that have been successful. And look, they've all been successful. Bill Polian's arguably one of the greatest general managers this league's ever had. Ron Wolf was one of the best football minds this league's ever had. And Charlie Casserly did some really, really good things. But I just think that when you're only limiting it to guys that are recommended by a committee, or if that's, you know, it helps. Let's put it this way. It helps to get recommended by a committee.
Yeah. 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 Yes, it always helps to get recommended by a committee. Even though, no, I'm with you though. I mean, like, it is too often. Because basically you're saying, okay, we're going to pull guys from the, and look, the Ron Wolf tree's got a ton of talent. I mean, John Schneider, Reggie McKenzie, John Dorsey. But you're basically pulling guys from, you know, who, like you said, I mean, if you worked with Charlie Casserly, then you're in luck because you're going to get recommended.
There's a lot of grinders in this league that in both in the coaching and in the personnel department, that don't get the due they deserve because they're not linked to a tree.
Hey, yeah. Hey! There's a lot of grinders out there in real life who don't get the, you know, don't
right.
get the flashy jobs.
And to me, that's sometimes frustrating, because I think people should be rewarded for their work and not for their name. And if you put the work in and you're good at what you do, you should, just because you were on somebody's staff 15 years ago, shouldn't, or related to somebody, shouldn't make you a guy that's you know, one of those guys that should be on the list automatically. And so, yeah. And I'm not singling out. This was just a rant aside from Mike Maccagnan, because he did work for Charlie Casserly and was strongly recommended for that job. But I don't know Mike, and I've heard good things about Mike from a lot of people I do respect in this league. But, you know, at some point, you know, the committee is a starting point. It shouldn't be the end all be all.
But back to the question, the Jets are now eliminated. They're among four teams eliminated from the playoffs, and the list is ugly. I mean, it's San Francisco, a roster bereft of talent, the 0-12 Cleveland Browns, the disastrous 2-10 Jacksonville Jaguars, who, I mean, also, you know, there's going to be a situation with that coaching staff, at least. Maybe I don't think the front office, but maybe. Is it Woody Johnson ain't scared to do something silly when it comes to canning everybody in his organization. I mean, but it seems to me that it would be a mistake after 2 years when you're in, like, who, like, remember
the tabloids called for Bowles' head today.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the tabloids do. I mean, look, it's.
Well, I mean, Todd doesn't help himself any by his
demeanor.
Yeah. And I'm not a big believer in demeanor reading. You know, I mean, if quarterback, maybe sometimes.
You basically just ran it against demeanor reading.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we read too much into that. I you know, but was it too late to rip into his team last night? I mean, you know, I talked to a guy this week and or last today, actually, in the league. And he said that might have been one of the worst performances from a quit standpoint that he's seen in 40 years in the league.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, seriously, it was. Like, Andrew, I remember there's one pass down near the goal line. It didn't end up in a touchdown, but it was to T.Y. Hilton. I think Revis was on him. And it was like they hiked the ball, and Luck looked at Hilton, and he kind of paused because the defender was like 6 yards off of him and not even trying to close. And Luck was like, is this a trick? And then he just dumped it to Hilton, who, you know, picked up an easy 5 yards. And then they scored, I think, on the next play. But I mean, there was an absolute laydown by the Jets. They were 3-8 coming into the game. They weren't going to do any damage, but I mean, at least, you know, salvage your season and play with some friggin' pride at home on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where that kind of performance can get you fired.
Yeah, sure. I mean, hey, you get the vice president-elect in the booth with the owner who's like, man, this is how you run your organization? This is trash. What are you doing? I mean, that
has nothing to do with it at all.
What do you mean?
Who cares about the vice president being there? What's he going to say?
Well, I mean, I don't think he was like blasting the team, but
you
I'm
think
sure
he's embarrassed in front of him.
Yeah, he's I would think that Woody Johnson is humiliated in front of Mike Pence, but he's like, yeah, well,
Mike Pence probably had the Colts in his pool anyways. I mean,
well, he should have. I'm the only one who had the Jets in the pick'ems. That was stupid.
That well, Costas had it as one of his picks in the contest too, and he went 1-4.
Oh no.
So yeah, it was that. You know why that was a bad. You know why that's a bad pick? And I told Nick this, and I'm telling you this.
The motivation for the playoffs.
They put so much into it last week into beating the Patriots.
You told me this last week. You called it. Yeah.
So I just think that was a bad pick. But look, the Jets have issues. They're not bad. I mean, what their cap situation is a mess.
It's a disaster. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what do they do with Revis? Revis is going to retire. You think
he's going to retire?
I think that's the rumblings is he's going to retire. Yeah.
That you're hearing, or are you talking about like that report that he didn't want to play anymore?
There was a report that he was thinking about retiring.
Yeah, but then I know like Boomer Esiason pointed out, and this is fair. I mean, you know, he is in a situation with his former agents that is not going well. So, you know, maybe there's some subterfuge there going on. Could be that.
Yeah, well,
it's easy to blast Revis because he's playing terrible. I mean, like he's all. I mean, they got to move him to safety at least, right?
Or if he wants to, I mean, he might not want to. He's made a lot of money in his career. He might not want to move to safety.
All right, well, let's talk about another safety who might retire, Earl Thomas.
He's not retiring. That was an emotional tweet based on a knee-jerk reaction. He's not retiring.
I don't think so either. But I mean, I don't think it's like, I mean, yeah, he might. I mean, broken lower leg. That'll put you in a weird spot, right? I mean, that's a long road to rehab. But he's only what, 28?
Well, I mean. He's a great player.
27. He'll be 28 in May.
Yeah, he's not. That's a broken tibia. I mean, it's something that you can come back from. If it happened early in the season, you come back at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right? Yeah, he's not retired. All right, well, let me ask you this instead. I think this is the more important question. Is which injury is bigger to a playoff contender? Is Rob Gronkowski going down for the Patriots or Earl Thomas going down for the Seahawks?
Well, Gronkowski can't be replaced because there's nobody like him.
Right.
I think Earl Thomas is the best free safety in the league, and that's a big hit for them too. But Stephen Terrell has come in and done good things. He's played last two games. He played at Tampa Bay, and he played when he came in the other night. He's played really well. So I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure either one of them is going to be a damning blow to those teams.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm not saying Seattle's going to the Super Bowl because their offensive line is still a disaster, but I'm not sure that either one of those is. And Earl Thomas, I've always used to think that Earl Thomas was the straw that stirred the Seattle defense.
You don't think so anymore?
He allowed them to play all that cover three that they played. But, you know, they've changed up a lot of the things that they do because people started figuring it out a little bit. But it's Michael Bennett. He's the straw that stirs that drink. He's the guy that you have to account for in every play when he's healthy. And he just came back last week and wasn't healthy yet. But when he gets healthy, he's the big part of that deep. To me, he's the one that makes them all go. And so can they compensate? It's a big hit losing Earl Thomas. He's a great player. But I think they can overcome it. It's a giant hit losing Gronkowski. They're going to have to compensate. The difference is Seattle will compensate by putting Terrell in the lineup. New England's going to have to compensate by making Malcolm Mitchell a threat down the field. That's how they'll have to compensate in different ways.
What do you think about Mitchell? Because, Brady, I think he's got like close to 25 targets, if not more, over the last three weeks.
Catches. And that tells you Brady trusts him, A. And I don't think this, you know, we've seen this in the past with Brady where you have an Aaron Dobson or somebody who flashes and then they disappear. You know, I think this is a case where the kid's going to be an effective receiver. And remember, they haven't had anybody who can run outside, really run and be an effective player. You know, you can talk about Lloyd, he can run a little bit, but I'm talking about guys who can run and be an effective player since Randy Moss. And that's a different element for their game. That's a speed element that they haven't had. Gronk, in the middle of the field, was their stretch the field guy. Well, they don't have that now. So now they have to get stretch the field guy with Mitchell. And I think that they can get that. So, yeah, he's a big – I think Malcolm Mitchell going forward is a giant, gigantic part of what the Patriots have to do because otherwise it becomes like, you know, even when they had Gronk in the postseason against Denver, the Broncos are so good in coverage and they can rush the passer. They played them like they were in the red zone. They weren't scared about anything down the field. And that made it tough on Brady. And so I think they have to become a deeper throwing team at times. Yeah, he's great at getting the ball out. He's great at getting the ball to Edelman. He's great at getting when Gronk's there, boom, boom, or Hogan or whatever. But they have to get a stretch the field element or else everybody plays them like they're in the red zone. And when you're good and you can do that, that's a problem for Brady.
Yeah, I think the you see the drop-off in the numbers with Gronk. I mean, I think the one good thing, and look, I'm not saying Bennett is Gronk, but having Bennett there, which is something they haven't had in years past if Gronk has gotten hurt, it at least gives you like a replacement level guy to slide in there for Gronk in terms of somebody who can block, somebody who can catch. And if Mitchell comes on and Chris Hogan's playing in the slot, then you have all these weapons. But you look at the stats and the drop off for Brady from Gronk to no Gronk, it's pretty incredible. I mean, he's one of the best three quarterbacks in the league, maybe the best quarterback of all time, and MVP candidate this year. But losing Gronk is a major factor for him. I still think that the Earl Thomas thing is bigger because I think the Patriots week to week can game plan defensively to cover up those warts. They can game plan offensively. They're a little more malleable because they have LeGarrette Blount playing really well and he's running the ball. They can, like this week against the Ravens, you would expect that they're not going to run Blount. They're probably going to run that short passing game. They can change their offensive game plan week to week. I feel like the Seahawks, though, like you saw that first play without Earl Thomas. I mean, it's a Ted Ginn 55-yard touchdown.
Yo, there it is. Sound the alarm.
What are you talking about?
Twitter police. You're reacting to one play. Terrell came in and played good football.
I think the Seahawks can cover up for it. I just think Earl Thomas is a difference maker on that defense.
I used to think Earl Thomas was the guy who made that defense go. If I'm an opposing team, I'd rather play Seattle without Earl Thomas. I mean, with Earl Thomas in the lineup and no Michael Bennett than having Michael Bennett out of the lineup and Earl Thomas in the lineup.
Well, but we're talking about Gronk versus
Bennett.
Sorry, I thought you said Martellus Bennett. Yeah. No, I see.
Michael Bennett.
Oh, so you'd rather? Okay, I see what you're saying.
So, in other words, I think Michael Bennett is more important now to the Seattle defense than Earl Thomas is.
Okay.
I never used to think that.
So in other words, Brady is one and then Gronk is two on the Patriots and you've got Bennett one, Earl Thomas two, Richard Sherman three, Russell Wilson 44 for the Seahawks.
No. Quarterback's always the most important.
So you got Russell Wilson is the most important player on the Seahawks?
Yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
The quarterback is always the most important player.
Yeah, I mean, if they go down, Trevon Boykin is going to be a problem.
Now, don't get me wrong. It's easy to play quarterback when your defense is the top-ranked scoring defense in the league, but that's a whole other story.
But you do admit that Russell Wilson is the best player on the Seahawks.
The best player? No, he's not the best player. Let's put it this way. He's not the best player by position. He's the most valuable player. The quarterback on any team is always the most valuable player, Brits, and that's why, you know, whoever, somebody at our place wrote a column about, I don't know who it is, that David Johnson should be in the MVP conversation.
It was Sean J. Wagner.
That's absurd.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Let's talk about the MVP conversation. Actually, first, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back to break down the MVP.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
So, David Johnson listed on Sean Wagner McGuff's ballot at number 5, and Sean was arguing that David Johnson is a better MVP candidate than Zeke Elliott. You just called it absurd. Tell me why it's absurd.
Not saying he's a better candidate. Forget Zeke Elliott. I mean, he's not a better candidate than Zeke Elliott because his team is 5-6-1. Okay. Now, if you want to make a case for him being offensive player of the year, I could get that. But the MVP is on a team that's a good team, and you're a great player on a really good team, And right now, the Cardinals are a non-playoff team. You're going to get an MVP from a non-playoff team? It makes no sense. Yeah, he's been great. He's a great player. He'd probably be better if he got some carries, but even more carries. But you're going to put him over Zeke Elliott, whose team has one loss?
Well, I get you. I'm with you on that. I agree that you don't pick a guy from a non-playoff team as MVP because how valuable can you really be if your team can't even make the playoffs?
And if you want to throw this on top of it, you know who the number one ranked defense was for the most of the last month, and they're now number 2 because Baltimore passed them? Arizona Cardinals. Mm.
So let me ask you this, though. If you flip David Johnson and Zeke Elliott, I mean,
they're the same. He's putting up the same number.
Okay, right. So how can Zeke Elliott be the MVP then?
He's not.
Okay, all right.
Tom Brady's the MVP.
You think Tom Brady's definitely the MVP?
Tom Brady or Derek Carr are the MVPs.
Okay, in our voting, we did a voting for all the important writers from CBS to vote.
You know what's great about that, by the way, all the important writers.
You actually have a vote? Is that what's
it? No, you guys all voted, and I'm actually one of the guys, 50, that actually has a vote.
No, yet. I know. That's why it's funny. Yeah.
It's comical.
I mean, I'll totally take a ballot from you and Jason and you know, whoever else if you want. You want to deal with sending me a weekly MVP ballot?
No.
Right. Yeah. Because you have you don't want to do that.
I want to reveal it.
Right, you're a voter. You won't want to reveal it. So, well, why don't you tell us who would be your top 5 on here? You can tell us on here.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. Yeah. Right now, Tom Brady, number 1.
Okay.
Derek Carr, number 2.
Okay.
I still put Matt Ryan up there because I think he's carried that team.
Okay.
3, Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Dak Prescott in right behind him.
You see good Prescott over Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Maybe Stafford.
All right, so here's my thing. And did we
Stafford's got 7 fourth quarter come from behind drops. Yeah. It's incredible.
I mean, if you plug, like, who's an average quarterback this year? I mean,
Russell Wilson.
I mean, I think if you plug Russell Wilson on the Lions, they're pretty good.
Really? Yeah. Quite insane.
I mean, they got some. I think my thing.
That's a good question. Would the Detroit Lions be 8-4 if Russell Wilson was their quarterback?
I think they'd be close. What would the Seahawks be?
So basically what you're saying then is that there's not much difference between Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford.
Well, I think Wilson's a top 5 MVP candidate.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is arguably one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. How can you put a guy as an MVP candidate when he's got 12 touchdown passes on the season?
Well, he's been playing injured behind a bad offensive line and still helping them produce wins.
Is Eli Manning an MVP candidate?
No.
No,
maybe he's top 10, probably. No, no, Eli doesn't even look good, man. You made the argument on Eli last week, and then you read his stats, and they were just worse.
Really?
Yes.
They're worse.
Eli doesn't look good. You saw it. The Giants
bad last week, but
Giants might crash and burn, Pete.
No, wait. So wait.
Right, well, let me run through my top five before you get all. I got.
It's irrelevant because your picks are so stupid. I mean,
I've got Derek Carr 1.
Okay.
Tom Brady 2, very close.
Okay.
A little flip this week. Matt Ryan 3, Matthew Stafford 4, Russell Wilson 5. I don't have any here's my thing on the Cowboys. I get why the Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys have a great record, but I don't think that Zeke Elliott is as good as he is without that offensive line. I don't think Dak Prescott is as good as he is without Zeke Elliott in that offensive line. And if you're not going to give it to the offensive line, which you're not because that's stupid, then you're basically rewarding the offensive line by handing it to Zeke Elliott.
So you had Wilson at 5? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think okay, Wilson.
All right, I'm going to run by some numbers here. Ready?
Okay.
Here, who's got a better record, the Giants or the Seahawks?
Seahawks are 8-4-1. Giants are, or is that right? 8-4-1. No, 8-3-1, right?
Right.
Yeah, and Giants are 8-4, so that would be Seattle.
Edge Seattle, right. All right. No, I knew that. Okay. All right, let's go to, but barely.
It's close.
65% completion percentage for Wilson, 63% for Manning. So Edge Wilson,
yep.
Yards, 3,097 for Manning, Wilson 3,142. So Wilson, 22 touchdown passes for Manning, 13 for Wilson.
Okay.
No, 12. Correct myself, 12. So there's
three to one.
Giant edge there. Picks, 12 for Manning, 5 for Wilson.
Giant edge there.
But
picks don't matter, blah, blah, blah.
Rating 93 and 88. So the difference between the two of them is razor.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's not? A 5 rating points isn't razor thin?
90. No, I would say that like one rating point is razor thin.
Come on. Okay, 22 touchdown passes to 12 is domination.
And 12 to 5 interceptions is domination. Eli has, by the way, 32 career red zone interceptions. That is horrific.
You're just the Twitter police on
6.9 yards per attempt for Eli, 7.8 for Russell. That's a huge difference.
You're the Twitter police. You follow the masses because the masses, if you ask the majority of people out there, who's had a more successful career as a quarterback or who's been better as a quarterback, 9/10 of them would say Russell Wilson and they'd be wrong.
Career as a quarterback, Russell Wilson or Eli Manning? Well, Eli has 2 Super Bowl rings and he's been playing for 10 years longer.
Every category, everything.
What do we talk about career? He's been playing for 10 years longer.
And right now he's got a half fewer wins, right? So he can't use the win stat.
I'm not trying to do this.
Completion percentage. He's barely behind him in yardage and he's got 10 more touchdown passes. They're equal, okay? I'm not going to sit here and say Manning's killing Wilson.
Are we talking about career or are we talking about?
No, right now. But you're looking at them right now. Their numbers and the way they're playing, they're about equal. If you want to offset the touchdowns and the interceptions, the rating, they're about equal. You would agree with that, right?
Yeah, they're close to equal. Yes.
Okay.
By the way, these guys basically
the perception is that your guy that you put 5th in the MVP voting is having a significantly better year than him.
I mean, I think Eli is. Yeah. Yeah. No, he is.
But you're wrong.
Well, I mean, I don't. I get what you're saying. I mean, like,
and Eli was awful on Sunday. And Eli, don't get me wrong, Eli was awful on Saturday, on Sunday, awful.
So you think Eli Manning's an MVP candidate?
No, but I don't think Russell Wilson is either.
All right, that's fine. I mean, look, I would be.
Stafford's got them all in every category.
Yeah, look, Stafford. Yeah, Stafford is. I should probably move Stafford. I could move Stafford ahead of Ryan.
And the greatest one,
Matt Ryan's getting hosed in this whole MVP discussion, by the way, because he's been fantastic. And nobody, he's not going to get any votes when it comes down to it. You should vote for Matt Ryan MVP just to make a statement.
Well, if they fizzle, they won't. But they're going to win their next, they got the easy schedule.
38-13 passing yards, 68.6% completion, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 9.2 yards per attempt, and a 112.3 passer rating. And the Falcons have, what, 7 wins? I mean, they're just, I mean, this. I mean, that he's just better than both of those guys.
Well, here's the good news for he's in the conversation. And if they went, they're going to get to 11 because their schedule is a cakewalk.
Who is the Falcons?
Atlanta's. Look at their schedule. I mean, it's
yeah. They get the Rams, San Francisco at Carolina. Carolina rolled over this week, and they're done. And then New Orleans at home. Yeah, I mean, they could easily. Yeah, they're going to get.
If they get to 11 wins, he's in the strong conversation for MVP.
Well, I think that's the big difference. Why, you know, we look at Tampa Bay and their surge, and look, your boy Mike Smith is coaching up that defense. They're playing really well the last month. Jameis Winston looks fantastic. Mike Evans might be one of the five best receivers in the league right now. And but the problem is they got to play New Orleans twice, once on the road. They got to play at Dallas, and then they got Carolina to close out on New Year's Day. That might not matter, but I mean, compared to the Falcons, I mean the Bucs have a tough road. The Falcons, so like they have two common opponents: New Orleans and Carolina, and then the Bucs' other two opponents are Dallas and New Orleans. And the Falcons get L.A. and San Francisco.
By the way, here's another reason why you can't put Wilson fifth on your MVP voting list.
I can do whatever I want.
Third down passing leaders. He's last in the NFC. He's got 53.3. Think about this. His completion percentage on third down is worse than Carson Wentz. He's awful on third down. I mean, that's important. I mean, it's not like Eli Manning's been great on third down either. So, I mean, he hasn't been good either.
Eli Manning has six fourth-quarter interceptions.
How about this, though? Case Keenum is better on third down than Cam Newton, Eli Manning, and Russell Wilson.
That is surprising. I would not have expected that. Derek Carr, by the way, in the fourth quarter, 72 of 11, that's 64.9% completion, 1,023 yards, that's 9.2 yards per attempt, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, 120.8 quarterback rating. That's why he's the MVP. Their defense stinks. And I mean, their defense doesn't stink. Khalil Mack's incredible, but their defense is letting people score, and Derek Carr is just clutch as it gets.
We'll see Thursday at Kansas City.
I like Kansas City in that game.
I do too. Well, if you're an MVP, you got to go win that game.
Sure, that's fair. All right, so we went through the MVP. Would you give it to a Cowboys guy, though? Like, I mean, you wouldn't. I think Dak and Zeke will split votes. I think they've been great. I mean, they've been fantastic. The Cowboys have a bunch of wins. I just have a hard time buying the idea that one of them, that you couldn't plug in. Like, if you put Tom Brady where Dak Prescott is, I mean, they're just destroying everybody.
And Zeke Elliott's a great runner. Don't get me wrong. I think he's fantastic. But if Alfred Morris was running the ball, they'd probably be 10-2.
Yeah. Or if you plug David Johnson in there where Zeke is.
Yeah, he'd be 10-2 or one loss. And for almost started a quarterback, they'd probably have one loss. I mean, it's just the way the season has played out. That line has been fantastic and everything else. By the way, Tom Brady on third down, he's still completing 67.5% of his passes, 10.75 yards per attempt, 7 touchdown passes, no picks.
The other fourth quarter stat. I'm reading these stats. You know, I get these stats sent to me every week. I love
you're finally reading them.
I love looking at these things.
Are you getting blog posts out of them?
No, I need to do that. Dak Prescott in the fourth
quarter.
Fourth
down leader. Yeah,
is he the fourth down leader?
No, fourth quarter leader. I mean,
no, Carr's the leader in fourth quarter.
No, in the NFC.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Prescott is 68.5% completion, 709 yards. That's almost 8 yards per attempt, and 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's the thing about Dak that I think more than anything, his play reminds me of I don't think he's been just super, you know, he hadn't been like just putting up massive numbers. He's been great, but he's just clutch when it comes. And he reminds me of like Big Ben in his rookie season or Brady that first year he started. You know, people forget that they were game managers of sorts, but they had just an ability to step up late when it mattered and just make clutch throws all over the place.
It's the best quarterback situation any rookie has stepped into
since Roethlisberger. They had a great line, good running game, good defense.
Yeah, maybe Roethlisberger. Russell Wilson's situation was pretty good too because he stepped in with a great defense and everything.
Yeah, and a great running game. That's right. Okay, so
by the way, if you want to go back and revisionist history, okay? There's a certain guy who puts out a better than team every year.
You had Dak Prescott on there.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I watched Dak Prescott light
up. Here's what it said. You want to see what it said?
Sure.
He has good size, and he's a strong prospect with a good arm. He is raw, and it will take time, but I was wrong about that. But he has performed at a high level in a big-time conference. That matters. For a team like the Broncos, in the second or third round, he would make a lot of sense.
Bet they wish.
Some of us know how to evaluate talent in this league. There's other, that team has a lot of, you know, Deion Jones is on that team. He's having a hell of a year. Ngogwe's on that team. He was the rookie sack leader up until, I think, last week. Come on.
Yeah. You're good, man. You're good.
I miss. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of misses. I can go through the laundry list of misses. They're like Christian Ponder would be better than Cam Newton. Oops.
Well, look, you know, nobody knew Cam Newton would be an MVP and Christian Ponder.
By the way, on the 2000, just that I looked at the 2015 better than team. So running back there, who is that? Oh, David Johnson. Northern Iowa.
Hey, look, I'll give you credit where credit's due. You talked nonstop leading up to the year about David Johnson. I remember Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, I think they were kind of telling people, maybe they weren't really saying it, but it was like, you know, draft David Johnson, hold on to him. He comes out, scores touchdowns early, and then, bam, went huge at the end of last year. Won a bunch of people fantasy leagues. So listen to Pete is the answer there. All right, two more things, and we'll get out of here. One, Jerry Jones said today that he is going, this is on Tuesday, that he's, and who knows what Jerry means, but he's basically, like, he said he doesn't want to risk Dak getting hurt. He doesn't want to sit his starters. But he also wants Tony Romo to be ready for the playoffs. Would it be a mistake to play Tony Romo in the regular season if the Cowboys have clinched home field advantage?
Yes.
Because then you create controversy, right?
You're creating controversy where you don't need to.
Yeah. I mean, but do you sit Tony and play Mark Sanchez? Or you just play Dak?
Just play Dak.
I mean, that's the move, right? You just let
Dak. He's got to play. It's not like he's a seasoned veteran. He's still a rookie.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, here's the thing on, and I'll swear to this, that Tony Romo would be 10 and 1, or what is it, 11 and 1, just like Dak.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he would be. And nobody, I get it. You can't take him out. There's no way you take him in. The kid's been phenomenal, and you can't take him out.
No, I agree with Romo, you. And I think if you play Romo and he lights it up, then people start talking. And
right. There's no reason for that.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that.
Now I forgot what the other thing I was going to ask you about. You mentioned something, and I was going to
about gonna the cat sitting Elliott. Sit him down.
Oh yeah, no, I'm fine with sitting Elliott. I know. Who do you got in the? We started off talking about the Jets in Indianapolis. Who you got in the AFC South right now?
Well, the Colts play the Texans this week, so they win. That puts them ahead of them, and they essentially have a one game lead on the Titans because they beat them twice.
And Titans have Denver, Kansas City, Jacksonville, and Houston.
Right. So I think Tennessee's going to put one on Denver this week. Not put one on, but they're going to win.
I do too, because the Broncos haven't been good rushing the ball. And
back-to-back road games for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. They can't stop the run. And Tennessee's coming off a bye. It's a bad combination. So I think Tennessee wins that game, but then they go to Arrowhead, right?
The Tennessee does?
Yeah, I think they go to Arrowhead the next week.
That's right. They're at Kansas City and then at Jacksonville on Christmas Eve.
The Colts play Houston this week, so they'll win that game.
I remembered what the other thing I was going to ask you about.
What's the rest of the Colts schedule? It's pretty favorable. They got Jacksonville the last week.
Yeah, then they go Houston, then at Minnesota, at Oakland.
At Oakland game could be a tough. They'll win at Minnesota, so at Oakland could be the game at the side. So they might lose one more. Tennessee.
Yeah, they could lose two more.
Yeah, but Tennessee could lose one or two more. And if Tennessee loses one more and the Colts lose one more, the Colts win the division because they beat them twice.
That's right. I mean, the Colts could lose at Minnesota and at Oakland. That wouldn't be – that any Oakland game could be a shootout. All right, here's the question I was going to ask you. So Kansas City – you think Kansas City is going to win this week against Oakland. That would make Kansas City, I believe, the number one seed. At least the number two seed. It would put them in the lead in the AFC West. Do you think the Kansas City, with the way that they're built, can win the Super Bowl?
With pass rushers, you can always win the Super Bowl.
I think the difference with Kansas City this year is not so much that they're better, but I think, you know, look, with Houston back, Dee Ford playing really well, you got Tamba Hali, but and Marcus Peters on that defense. I just think that Kansas City in a year where nobody is great is just like I think their ceiling is higher than it usually is because there aren't.
Slow the roll. Please slow the roll, because here's why. I'm going to give you reasons why you got to slow that roll.
Alex Smith?
No. A month ago, Jacksonville went up there and put 450 yards on him and should have won the game.
Yeah.
They went to Carolina. Carolina gagged one down their leg and should have won the game.
Yep.
Then they lost to Tampa Bay at home. Okay? At home.
They could have lost three straight. Yeah, you're right.
Then they went to Denver and pulled out the miracle comeback and because Kubiak screwed it up at the end of the game by not going for two. And then last week, that easily could have been a loss. So, yeah, they won the last two, and we got to give them a lot of credit. And they're a good, solid football team. And Andy Reid deserves a ton of credit, by the way, a ton of credit. But let's just slow the roll.
They could be 5-7 right now, easily.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just the NFL. Things go your way. But in fairness to them, they've been banged up on defense. They haven't had them all together. Now they're going to have those guys together. D. Ford, healthy. Houston, healthy. Holly, healthy. Then you get, the secondary has been banged up a little bit. Now they're getting back, and you get guys back that, they missed a lot of the down guys, missed time. Chris Jones is going to be a beast as a down lineman for him. So, yeah, they're going to be tough in the postseason because they can cover and they can rush, and that's always a problem. We've seen that formula beat Brady before, haven't we?
Yeah. Did we mention – you mentioned the – let's see. Were you including the Falcons game in that game? In that list? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so think about it. They could have lost the Falcons game.
Should have probably lost the Falcons game.
Okay, should have lost the Broncos game. Should have lost the Panthers game.
Mm-hmm.
And did lose the Bucks game.
Yeah.
They could be on a four-game losing streak right now.
That's the margin forever.
That's why I get to give Andy Reid a lot of credit. Andy, look, you win close games, you got to look at the coach. Guy's done a good job.
Oh, and they could have lost it. Did you mention the Chargers game week one? Chargers game week one, they should have lost.
You know that? He's a damn good football coach.
Yeah, he's a great. I've heard somebody say this. Is he the most underrated football coach of this generation?
One of them.
He's kind of like Phil Mickelson to Belichick's Tiger Woods.
But he's also got to win something.
Without a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to win something.
Maybe he's the Lee Westwood. He's the Lee Westwood of this.
Here's the question you got to ask. If in all probability, Oakland and Kansas City are going to lose one game somewhere, right? Uh-huh. The Patriots probably won't.
Patriots could lose, and they play at Denver. They got Baltimore at home this week, and they could lose one of those.
They're not losing to Baltimore at home. It'll be a competitive game, but they're not going to lose the game. They could lose at Denver, but I don't see Trevor Siemian doing that.
Garrett Blount could be a problem for them.
But if they win out, you got to figure. Don't the Chiefs and the Chargers play? I mean, the Chiefs have to play Oakland this week, so one of them's going to lose. They got to play Denver right again on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denver, Kansas City play on Christmas Day, and so I think the playoffs are going to go through New England.
I think you're probably right.
So
please let it be New England, Oakland, AFC Championship, snowing.
Which one of those teams? Oh, look at you, always looking for that.
15 years since the Tucker rule.
Oh God! Which of those teams can go there and win?
I mean, Denver,
Oakland could play a shootout with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now weather could be a factor. That could be a factor for Oakland. Kansas City can rush them and hit them and cover them. And Denver, if they played, can rush them, hit them. But you know who the team is?
Baltimore.
No.
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm doing something on the Steelers defense this week and I started watching it. Now they haven't exactly beat a murderer's row of offense the last couple weeks.
No.
Because they beat the Browns, they beat Tolzien and the Colts, not Luck and the Colts. And they did have a good day the other day against the Giants. They're getting significantly
below average quarterback
side of the ball. And we know they can score. I mean, Sean Davis, the rookie from Maryland, oh, by the way, the captain of the Better Than team last year, is starting to really make plays on the back end. Hargrave, the rookie nose tackle, is making plays. Shazier's healthy again.
Yep.
James Harrison looks like he drank from the fountain of youth again. He had 3 sacks in the last 3 weeks. And Tuitt is playing great football since Hayward went down. So you look at that team, if that defense continues to play, and this week they go to Buffalo, so that's going to be a nice offensive challenge for that defense. If they can continue to play good on defense, they're the team nobody's going to want to play.
I'm with you. Look, I think Baltimore too, I think is a little scary if Joe Flacco gets hot.
If Flacco plays like he did last week, they're really scary.
Yeah, but one of those teams, it's going to be hard for
both. They've done it, both of them. They've been there. So in the postseason, they've won in the postseason. The Raiders haven't won in the postseason. The Chiefs have won a couple games, but they're not. They haven't made big runs in the postseason. Broncos have, but not Simeon. Flacco and Roethlisberger have.
Here's the thing about the Broncos. So the Ravens have a tough schedule. They have to play at New England this week on Monday night. You have to think that's probably not going to be a win. They could steal one. Philadelphia at home the next week, that's probably a win. At Pittsburgh and then at Cincinnati to close out. So, I mean, like 2-2 is what you think they'll go, right?
And if they lose to Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh plays
out. Well, they lose to Pittsburgh. If they lose to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's got the division. Pittsburgh's at Buffalo, at Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Pittsburgh might get the division regardless. I guess if Baltimore goes 3-1, they would get it.
Here's one. Can Arizona make a – we'll talk about – I was thinking –
I started thinking about that too.
Can teams – what teams can make a run that nobody – because there's going to be one that comes from nowhere to get in.
The only thing you worry about is was that just sort of a – Was that the start of something for Arizona against Washington, or was that just a we've got pride, we're going to step up this game?
Well, they're top 10 in offense and defense. They should be better.
Everyone I like Arizona too. They get the Dolphins this week.
They got to win with Seattle though.
I mean, they could go to Seattle and win.
So who, if you're Green Bay, I mean, if you're Arizona, who are you rooting for this week, Seattle or Green Bay?
I think you're rooting for Seattle.
You would think, because you're not going to catch Seattle.
Yeah, you're not. You're hoping for a wild card. So if you're Arizona, you're rooting for the Saints, because you're rooting for the Saints and the Eagles, because you want the Bucs to lose and the Redskins to lose, and then
Packers. If the Packers lose, they'd have 7 losses, right?
But see, here's the situation. So like, let's just say that the Redskins lose to the Eagles at Philadelphia, which is possible. And that the Saints beat the Buccaneers at Tampa, which is possible, right? And then and Arizona beats Miami in Miami. Well, then next week the Tampa has Dallas in Dallas. You have to expect that they're going to lose that game, right?
But if Arizona wins out, let's just say for the sake of the argument, they win out, they get the 9. They'd be 9, right? They'd be 9-6-1, right?
Yeah,
right. So even if Tampa Bay loses to Dallas, they'd have to lose one other one.
I think Green Bay is the team you're worried about if you're
– but if Green Bay loses this week, that gets them to what?
If Green Bay loses this week – sorry, I'm trying to run this play.
They're 7. They have 7.
Yeah, that's right.
So if Arizona won out, they wouldn't have to worry about Green Bay.
Interesting.
I mean, Arizona's schedule is – I mean, it's not
– it's tough. They're going to have to beat Seattle.
They're going to have to beat Seattle.
Yep.
But they're going to have to win at Miami, which they haven't won on the East Coast, right? They've been disastrous on the East Coast.
Yeah.
They're going to have to – so then they have to beat Seattle, win at Miami, right?
If Green Bay wins out
– they should beat New Orleans at home, and then they got the Rams on the road. So they're, if Arizona could somehow beat Miami this week they can beat Miami this, but if they can beat Seattle, they could make the playoffs.
Yes, that is correct. And I'll tell you what, the team that nobody is talking about to cough up a wild card spot is the Giants.
They're going to beat the Lions at home.
All right, so they got the Cowboys.
They're going to beat the Cowboys this week, by the way.
They could. The Giants have a tough stretch. That's all I'm saying.
Cowboys, the Lions, what, the Redskins?
The Eagles and then the Redskins.
Is it an Eagles game? Where's the Eagles game? At Philly?
It's at New York.
Yeah, they're
going to. No, it's at Philly. It's at Philly.
They'll win one of their games.
Though. Okay, well, but if they win one of their games, if they go 1-3 to close, so like I just ran it, if they beat, let's say they lose to Dallas and lose to Detroit. Oh, actually, they could. The Cardinals have some paths here. The Cardinals have to win their games, obviously, but they got a path here. I think you're right. I like Arizona Super Bowl odds might not be a bad bet.
I mean, because if they get in, they're a top 10 team on offense and defense.
Yeah, I bet they're 100-1 right now.
Yeah, if they win out, they're going to get in, I think.
Interesting. All right. So we like the Arizona Cardinals as a Super Bowl
no,
sleeper.
No, I don't think they're going to. Especially
as a sleeper. It's not.
You got to try and find somebody that's coming from nowhere to get in.
Sure.
That's one of them.
You don't count the Packers as that at this point, right?
They got to win out.
Cardinals are 125-1 to get it, to win the Super Bowl.
What is
Packers 30-1?
The Packers got to win out.
Packers were down to 80-1 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I mean it's a long shot for both, but I mean it can definitely happen. All right, we ran long because we started doing playoff scenarios mid podcast. Thanks for listening to everybody at Prisco CBS on Twitter. For Pete at Will Brinson, for me, you can subscribe via iTunes, Roku, Stitcher, I don't know, it's like all that stuff. And you can watch Pete every single day live in Fort Lauderdale on our video shows, right, Pete?
Yeah, Monday. Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Right.
And
I have 6 days off and then I work
all day Sunday. We got a fantasy football show from 11 to 1. We got a halftime show. We got a halftime show at 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and we got a post game wrap up at 8. So,
and you know what else you can do? You can listen to, or you can get a free trial of CBS All Access now, streaming all the NFL and CBS games.
Love it.
Go to CBS.com. Cool stuff from our peeps in the boss fed, smart people who do all that stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday when we have picks between me and Costas.
All right, Will. Take care.